Good morning. Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, starting with verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Like our job isn't hard enough, she told me via the Zoom call that we had 2 weeks ago. I mean, could things be any worse? My pastor friend lamented. The world was already going straight to heck in a handbasket, like even before this, she said. It's so hard to be a pastor. We have bills to pay and vacancies in our preschool, and it just seems like there are always grieving people to comfort and flowers to order and choirs to rehearse. And the denomination can't make up its mind about what it means to love our neighbor. And then this, where are we going to have the Easter lilies delivered? She said. And did you hear that the church up the road is having a Disney animated Jesus Palooza with a guest appearance by Lin-Manuel Miranda? I hear he's going to sing in the Zoom where it happens. Okay, maybe she didn't say that last one, but the rest of it's pretty accurate. When this happened, you could hear church leaders and pastors all around the world say, "Oh, come on. How are we supposed to have an Easter without all the necessary tools to pull it off? We have to be upfront about our need for resources to keep being the church without reminding people of televangelists that you don't want to be reminded of. Especially not that guy who sells prayer cloths to little old ladies. I saw one that had a picture of Jesus on it, and Jesus' eyes followed you around. I've got people telling me we should definitely use Zoom, but don't get Zoom bombed or it will be all your fault. Live stream But what if it takes 7 people to do that? Is there really a difference between 7 people and 10 people when it comes to your COVID risk? Do Facebook Live, they tell me, but don't violate copyright law, which is surprisingly easy to do, as it turns out. So for Easter to work, it seems like our only alternative is to pack our own garages with Easter lilies and make a fake empty tomb in our basements. And none of this is covered in seminary. None of it. On one level, you might say there's more of a Good Friday vibe around here than usual. Good Friday is seldom shocking to start with, and especially not this year. It's not surprising that Rome would have crucified a guy like Jesus. That's exactly what the empire does to people who talk like he does. To people who talk about God like that, or loving one another like that, or healing like that. Crucifixions are not surprising. My news feed is filled with stories of innocent suffering. Good Friday stories. When love and peace are rewarded with violence and retribution, and when a virus that we don't have a cure for is making its way through our world. It feels like Good Friday this year more than ever. When we sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" this Friday night, I thought, yeah, I've been there. I've been to that hospital room. I've seen that news broadcast all the times the sun refused to shine, and what you see appears to be exactly what you get. Easter morning, the first one, started off as anything but surprising. It started in a graveyard, if you will. It's not surprising that Rome's war machine would have crushed this unlikely Messiah. It's not surprising that the women would be dispatched to tend to his body, because that's what you do. That's what happens when somebody dies. Even when they get there and the stone is rolled away, their first reaction is someone has taken his body. A final indignity. And people get to running, but not because the world is turned upside down. They're running because they're not sure what's true. They're running, looking for his stolen body. Mary Magdalene, especially, is still living in her middle-of-the-night COVID-19 Good Friday life. Coming to tend a body with the taste of Friday and Saturday's tears still in her mouth. And I get that. Her weeping appears totally logical when you've been through the pain of Friday and Saturday. So Easter morning starts off like every other morning, a slap in the face for those who are already knocked down. It's as if she expected it, as if the whole way to the tomb she was considering the negative possibilities. It's bad enough that they have assassinated my friend, the one who would be our Savior and our Lord. And now I have to go anoint his body, but the thing that would be even worse than a crucifixion would be if they took his body, so that I'd be denied that last act of love and grief. Just another roadblock. Just another disappointment. Another big fat no to a question that she doesn't dare ask anymore. In the midst of this, Jesus appears and says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And probably Mary didn't recognize him because she didn't really look at him. She didn't really see him. She thought this gardener, this cemetery worker, just doesn't know. He wasn't there for the Last Supper and the arrest and the terrible death and now the missing body. And into this comes the voice of Jesus, who speaks her name, and she recognizes him. It's as if in that moment the earth shifted. In that moment, it's a brand new morning. It's a signal that all the assumptions any reasonable Mary Magdalene would have made are no longer reasonable at all. This morning is the morning that God plays the final trump card, and we come to see the world in a radically new way. This is the morning where God says yes to everything Jesus was, everything Jesus did, everything that he stood for. God says yes this morning to the poor and the captive and the refugee. God says yes to the single parent, to the widow and the widower, to the teenager, to the empty nester, to the senior citizen. God says yes to people in hospitals and nursing homes and Alzheimer's units. This is the morning that God says yes to the thief who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." God says yes to the woman caught in adultery. This morning is the morning that God looks at all the people and all the places under stay-at-home orders. People trapped in a world of no, and God says yes. As I was pondering all the ways that I was sure we would not even have an Easter this year, as I was listing all the indignities, I felt in some ways like Mary Magdalene on the way to the tomb. "They have taken my Easter away," I thought to myself, "and I do not know where to find it." You know what I mean? "They've taken my church sanctuary away, my regular communion, my drape over the huge cross on the hill. They've taken away my rows of chairs, the choir risers, the spring break vacation Bible school that we were planning. Worse, they've taken away the hugs that we would share in the gathering place. And the children running after Easter eggs. They've taken my Easter away," I thought, "and I do not know where to find it." And right then, as I was in my Good Friday frame of mind, I was desperately stress eating my way out of even my most generous pair of sweatpants. And I looked out my window, and I saw a world bursting with life. New life, resurrected life. Is it me, or is the sky bluer this year? The grass is greener, the birds are chirping louder, the cherry blossoms seem cherrier this year. And it's as if someone did not get the word. They didn't get the word that Easter was supposed to be canceled this year. They didn't get the word that Good Friday was somehow turned into our permanent condition because of COVID-19. Someone didn't get the word that my Lord cannot be raised without my ability to decorate it and orchestrate it. Every year I discover that Easter, as hard as we work to make it happen, has nothing to do with us really at all. And it's especially true this year, when it seems that everything has been taken from us. What an opportunity to come to a garden tomb with burial spices in our hands and to discover the gift that is Easter. Here we are, stripped of all our pretense, stripped of so much we thought we could not live without. And this is the year to discover that Easter is real, and it's a gift that God gives to us without us having to make it happen at all. Think about it. In a resurrection scenario, what is required of the dead body? Nothing. Resurrection is something that happens to the body. Easter is something that happens to us. It is a gift for us. Easter is something God gives the world when the world discovers it has done everything that it can do and it cannot save itself. What if this Easter morning is about the cherry blossoms in our yard, not the lilies that we put in our sanctuary? What if this Easter is about offering real help to people in real need, reaching out to our neighbors to say, "You are not alone. Christ is risen." What if this year our resurrection choir consists of brothers and sisters in Christ singing right where they are in full voice their hallelujahs? And then those voices join together in a kind of holy mystery to be the choir in a new way. What if our resurrection choir consists of the teens and the toddlers around our kitchen table? What if our sacrament this year is in a coffee cup? What if Easter this year is meeting our risen Lord on a walk around our neighborhood and discovering God's presence in the small things that normally we would fail to notice? My Jesus can definitely work with a stay-at-home order, because he has a habit of showing up in locked rooms where fearful disciples are huddled together, wondering what the future will bring. Easter is a reminder, in the words of Fred Buechner, that the worst day is never the last day with God. That God will have the last word, and that word to us is love and life. It's not just that at the end of our earthly life, we receive a heavenly reward. Easter tugs on our life in the here and now. What evidence do I have? Well, even this year, I have seen the Lord. Think about the calls you may have had with old friends you haven't talked to in years, and maybe you've laughed until the tears have rolled down your face. Maybe your Zoom boxed face. I've seen the Lord. Food drives and mask making. Glenmore people who are keeping our stores stocked. People on the front lines of this, working for a cure, caring for patients. People reporting to work. People staying home to flatten the curve. People doing online algebra lessons and learning new math, however that works. In a way, in them, I have seen the Lord. I thought about our shut-ins, who, many of whom have joined our prayer team. And the notes that people are tucking in to envelopes with their offering checks that they send to our church that say, "Be encouraged. The church has never been more the church than it is right now. The church is just the perfect thing to address the world's deepest need right now." If this Lent has in fact felt like the Lentiest of all, it could be that it is a setup for the Easterest Easter of all. And in the end, as always, we discover that the joke is on us. Once again, as we feverishly run around clutching our burial spices, looking desperately for a body to anoint, the resurrected Jesus surprises us. He meets us where we least expect him. And he whispers our name, and we realize that we don't do one thing, not one single thing, to raise Jesus from the dead. The stone is not ours to roll away. We only have to receive the gift and then do what Mary Magdalene did. Go running from the tomb we expect it to be full this morning, and share the message, "I have seen the Lord." Even in the year of Easter COVID-19, even on that Easter morning, in my yard, maybe on your couch, maybe in our collective PJs, we have seen the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.